Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Childcare Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson here with Lisa Murphy. How are you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I am good. Nice to see you.
Good to be seen.
I get to see you. Nobody else. Everybody else is listening to you.
I don't even have a picture on my personal Facebook page. You can see me. You can see a picture of me in my author box on the Playvolution HQ website. But just updated that picture with a picture of me and the hounds out in the forest. So it'd be a visual treat for all you listeners. Hey Lisa, we're gonna jump into talking about power play, but I wanted to get your take on this. I saw this article a couple months ago, since we recorded last, about a company, Washington DC based, I think, company called Books by the Foot.
Tell me more.
And so they've been around for a long time, apparently. And they their name is what they do. They sell books by the foot. So if you're a DC operative, power player, lawyer, journalist or something, and you're moving into a place, you could order 6 feet of books on American history and another 3 foot on journalism or whatever it is to fill up your bookcases so you look smart. But they've been having a boom. They had a boom in 2020
because of the Zoom.
People filling up their bookcases, wanting to look smart in their Zoom backgrounds, and so
is it just blank paper inside the book?
No, it's like this company, they've got warehouses and they curate all these books and they sort and organize them by type. And I mean, you can order paperback or hardbound or the old leather bound books and all that kind of stuff. And so
I had known this was a thing, I would have kept the 24 boxes I purged before I moved to Florida, and I could have been selling them by the foot. Although I would have been specifically catering to a certain crowd. Early childhood people. Oh my God, that is hilarious.
I thought it was really hilarious. And I mean, my thing for years has been that, you know, even early learning people a lot of times buy the book and never read the book. They just want to say they have the book. And as soon as I read that article, I started purging the bookcase behind me at upstairs studio and I don't think there's a single book. There's nary a book on the shelf anymore. It's all replaced with loose parts and dead things in jars. Instead of the books,
well, just because
I'm a contrarian.
Well, but it's reminded me of the thread that you, me, and Heather Nerd had the other day going on. She found this amazing contraption at some kind of like library antique page or something, and it essentially looks like a old win. Help me. What does it look like?
It's a Ferris wheel for books.
A Ferris wheel for books. Amazing. She's like, oh my God, check this out. We can have seven books open at the same time. And Jeff goes, so can my Kindle. It's like slam. So can a table. And we were laughing.
Pretty much any dining room table can handle 7 books open too.
Exactly.
But it was a feat of woodworking. So let's hop into this topic, power play. I don't have any idea where this is gonna go, but thoughts. We'll just start there.
I'm a big fan of it. I mean, I think we've in the past unpacked some of our personal evolution to it. I think as I've gotten older, I've realized that there's so many things that come under the heading of power playing. I, since COVID blew the dust off of my bang, bang, you're dead power playing in the classroom workshop, and have been having some interesting conversations with that. And I think that people change their minds. I think it's one of those, I'm also speaking from the spot that I am right now. I think that as soon as you get the conversation out of the moral lens or the moral lane or the moral, whatever narrative, whatever word you want to attach to that, the minute we're able to lift it out of the moral piece, I think, even people who are dead set against it, at least they might not go back and embrace it right away, but they can see that there's room for other kinds of conversation. It's not that the kids are going to grow up and kill people. I think depending on where they default, if they default into the, you know, because before we even got started, you listed off very quickly, actually, a bunch of types of play that might come under the heading or of power playing.
Yeah, I think we can work our way through those. Might be good. We might end up with more than one episode about this. So I mean, I put together a definition of power play for the early learning glossary I'm building over on the Playvolution HQ site. And I mean, the first sentence I've got is in power play, children play at wielding imaginary power. I'm Spider-Man. Or place their real power. Watch how fast I can run to those trees on display. And I mean, that pretty much sums it up. But when we start breaking that down, a lot of the types of play and child activities that annoy or get under the skin of adults fall under the category of power play, rough and tumble play and superhero play, and even playing with behavior, playing at kind of talking back to adults, because I mean, we adults don't often equate that kind of behavior with play, but for a lot of children, playing with the way they respond to their adults is indeed a type of play for them. It's an opportunity to check limits and test things and kind of experiment on their adults about how they're going to react if I don't listen when I'm told to pick up my Legos and wash my hands before lunch. If I don't listen, what's going to happen? Yeah, and that truly is play for kids in some situations.
Well, and I think it comes back to playing with the concept of control. You know, if I do something different than this person is used to me doing, how are they going to respond? You know, playing with seeing how you respond to me, I think definitely falls under there as well. I think initially, you know, when I was a brand new, you know, 1,000 years ago teacher, it was only like gunplay, you know, yeah. It was running around with your finger gun or a stick that you turned into a gun. And it's definitely been, as I've gotten older and dare I say wiser, that you realize that there's so many different categories, so many different things that you can see. And to what I was saying as we were getting started, I think that even just pointing out that it's not just playing at killing you allows people to maybe broaden their horizon and perhaps make room, become more comfortable making room for this type of play.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think actually the term power play is probably a phrase that isn't on the tips of everybody's tongue when it comes to describing this type of, type of play. I mean, it's only been the last 5 or 6 years that I've started using it, and it I'm sure it was out there before that, but it's just kind of a category that maybe not everybody thinks about when they're kind of trying to categorize and organize all the different variations and mutations of play that are out there in the world.
Well, I think it actually assists in having the conversation by putting the general overarching notion of power play and then maybe focusing, because I there's probably an unlimited number of terms you could put under the heading of power play.
Yeah.
But yet they're all examples of power playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's first, I've got this power play in this kind of bullet list. I want to get your thoughts on, and we'll just kind of tiptoe through it. So
tiptoe through the topics.
Power play can involve controlling people and events.
Yes.
And so that can be in real life when you're being defiant, when mom or teacher tells you to do something, but it's also something that comes up in dramatic play. They play at those interpersonal power exchanges, and you're trying to control events. That's a version of being the wizard that can control the weather or those kind of things. So it's playing.
Or it's even me just telling you what I want you to do, like the director of the drama.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You're literally playing the director of the play. Another one I've got on that bullet list is displaying great physical strength. Now that's all relative. Your great physical strength when you're 3 and a half and you can lift up the toddler chair over your head. May not win you Mr. or Mrs. Universe, but it is a display of your actual physical power. And I think that's a big one for kids. They're look how fast I can spin, look how fast I can run, look how far I can throw, all of that kind of stuff. I think falls under the heading of power play. Another
watch
one I've
what
got,
I can do. Watch what I can do.
Yeah,
watch
yeah, what I can exactly. Do. Well, you're flailing your body around. Another one I've got on there is exhibiting great natural ability, and I guess that's kind of the same thing. But under there, that's things like I can count to 100. Listen to me, count to 100. That kind of thing.
Showing off my skills.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not necessarily a physical thing, those abilities. And again, maybe natural ability isn't the right description there. Maybe it's just ability.
Well, you know, I'm having a thought as you say that. How much of that, because I think with that one specifically you just said, natural ability, and you elaborated a little, in my brain I saw not you said I can count to 100 or whatever, but like showing off a little bit, like your skills of like your dancing stuff or your musical inclination, you know, playing the piano. But then I'm wondering specific to that one, how much of that gets started because of adults, right? The whole competition and one-upmanship.
Yeah. 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 Grandbaby used to always run in and say, Papa, look at my new moves.
Yes.
And
yes.
She would bust some dance moves. Another one is acting in a forceful way. And so that, again, that falls maybe into the superhero play, but that's also happens in dramatic play when you're being the mom or dad or authority figure, the veterinarian who demands that we've got to rush the stuffed kitten to the hospital and those kind of things. And then the last one I've got on that short list is play at facing adversity and overcoming challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's playing. There's a bad storm out, or the ship is going through a storm, and those kind of things.
And some of that last one specifically, I think could come very much out of their real life, real time experience.
Sure, sure.
You know, and like the COVID play that we all started seeing, you know, a year ago and directly in response, but then also having control over something, right? I don't have any control over this big thing that the grownups are talking about, but right here in my bedroom, in the living room and the backyard, I can, you know, be the boss of it. And the one before that, Jeff, it was making me think practicing like adult roles. Like way back in the day when we would initially talk about dramatic play. And one of the things that's so important is that kids get to practice in a relatively safe fashion some of the behaviors that they feel might be being done to them on a regular basis. And now I get to see what it's like, you know, how does it make me feel when I tell you to go to your room when really it's just what mom spent all weekend telling me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an offense to a chance to play with those real world things. I just popped into my head. What I guess a portion of power play also involves at times playing at being powerless. Because there's that yin yang, that opposites kind of thing.
Yeah, being the dead thing or the sick thing or, you know, you have to help me.
Yeah. Because in the play, if somebody is going to be powerful, it necessitates somebody being
powerless.
And that might be an imaginary character, but it might be one of the playmates has to take on that role of being powerless.
You know, I like that. That's actually, my nerd brain is like, ooh, who's done some research on that? You know, is there in dramatic play always evidence of that yin yang. That would be something very interesting to watch for, because I think our eyeballs naturally follow the what we would call power piece of it, because perhaps we're worried it's going to get out of hand or that somebody's going to get hurt. And we're so overly noticing that, that we don't see the other side of that. Jeff, that's a really, really interesting.
Well, that's why I come to the podcast. Well, it's right? Kind of, we've talked about this before.
Practice being smart.
Somebody's got to be the audience, right? And so if somebody's going to put on a show or sing a song, somebody else plays it being the audience. So you need that balance. Other side of things to push against. And I mean, this is, and it also helps. It helps with the understanding. It helps with taking perspectives and putting yourself in the mind of somebody else. Because I mean, if superheroes are is the activity of choice, somebody's going to be Batman, but somebody's going to be has to be the villain. Somebody has to be Darth Vader if somebody's going to be Luke Skywalker or Yoda. And so, being able to put yourself in the position of the less powerful or disempowered or unpowerful person helps you understand what it's like to be in that position, but also kind of understand better what it's like to be the powerful one.
Yes. And I'm also thinking now of Peter Gray and that how you make the modifications, right? To keep the play going. So if right now, you know, this kid is insisting on being Darth Vader, but I want to keep playing, I am learning how to get my ego out of the equation and be like, okay, I'll be whoever and let you be that, because I'm more invested in the play continuing than the role that I'm having within the play.
Yeah. Yeah. It all becomes this dynamic dance to keep things moving forward, to keep the scenario moving ahead.
Now my brain's, I'm like, I can't get wait to do a
of somebody. Lisa's going to write another session this afternoon.
Yeah. I'm launching a new workshop this evening on the
Well, I think we could let's plan on doing follow-up episodes on this one and work some of these categories I was talking about. But I think maybe before we wrap this first episode up, talk a little bit about our adult responses to kids wanting to feel powerful. Because a lot of times...
Well, that evolves. That yeah. 100% evolves. You know, once you start working on getting your ego and your need to be the boss out of the picture, it becomes easier. You stop seeing it as being defiant. You see it as practicing. You know, I don't even want to try and label what the kids are practicing, because in all honesty, I don't really know what they might be practicing. I might be able to take a guess. You know, yeah. Practicing practicing using their voice, practicing being their agency, practicing being loud, practicing being quiet, you know, of practicing letting somebody take care of them. You know, we really don't know. I mean, we can make educated guesses.
Yeah. I think it's important to remember that power is not a finite resource in the classroom. I think a lot of adults worry that if they give up a little bit of power to children, they lose their own power. And
that's not how that works.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not something that's going to be depleted. It's not like, the fuel in your vehicle, exactly. The battery on your phone. It's something that, you know, you can give up a little bit of power to a 3-year-old and still be the one that's in control overall in that classroom. And I think a lot of adults struggle with that, especially, we've touched on this before, especially when they're feeling less powerful in their own lives outside of the classroom. There are some early learning people who rule their early learning domains with an iron fist because they feel totally and utterly powerless outside of that classroom. And it's a sad position for them to be in, but it's a real hard place for kids in those environments to be.
And co-teachers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's wrap this one up and come back with another episode on power play. Before we do, I want to plug a new podcast, Lisa Murphy.
Another new one?
Good you don't
Lord.
Know about this. I don't think you know about this. So we're I got a email from the executive producer, and the Miss Becky's Classroom podcast got canceled after nearly 70 episodes.
Oh no! What happened?
Nobody was listening to it. No, there were people that were listening to it, but for the time we were putting into it, the audience wasn't what we wanted it to be, and that's cool because it was a very niche kind of thing. But with that same crew, me, Josie, the librarian, Bethany, who's a regular here on the show, and the lovely Mrs. Tasha Johnson, Mama Duck, are all coming back with a new show called Mothering Milestones.
Oh.
And so here's what's going on there. One of the four of us is going to be a new mommy, and we are going to hop on the interwebs and talk about her experiences and her worries and her fears. I think like the first 20 episodes may be pre-baby panic, from what it's sounding like. But we're also going to go through parenting books and articles about, you know, all the stuff people are dealing with and what to expect. And then probably some baby milestones are going to come in there into the conversation as well. And so I doubt we're going to track this mothering thing for the whole of the child's childhood, because
oh no, who knows?
But it's going to be a chance for us to get together and chat about things. And since Josie, Tasha, and I have a little bit of parenting experience, we can maybe provide a little bit of support and resources for Bethany. But I think it's going to be a fun new show. And I probably, when the first couple episodes are ready to go, I might tack one or two of them onto the end of Bar and Grill episodes, just so people kind of have an opportunity to listen without having to go anyplace to find the show. But
that's a good plan.
If you're looking for something new to shove in your ear holes, it might be something worth checking out. Any final thoughts? Oh, anything you want to plug before we wrap this one up?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.